Bibles to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. I want you to stand, please, while I read the Word of God. I want to say I appreciate Harrison singing this morning. Little young lady did a fine job, and I praise God for it. Amen. Appreciate her singing. Appreciate the trio singing. It's good to hear the choir sing. I'm glad I'm going to a place where they're going to be singing. Amen. I'd hate to think I was going somewhere and they never sing any songs, never be any joy. Wouldn't that be sad? Go to hell without God. But, oh, Jesus is passing by. He wants to say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have you ever noticed that Jesus amened himself? He got to talking about it, said, I'm he that liveth. I said, I'm alive. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. That means he'll never have to die again. He finished the work forever and have the keys of hell and of death. I say praise the Lamb of God forever. He does, and I praise him and thank him for it. The devil don't have the keys to hell and death. Jesus does. He controls that. Somebody said the loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Now, I want you to know the loving God's a holy God. Hates sin, and sin must be dealt with. It'll either be dealt with in repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, or else it'll be dealt with in judgment of Almighty God and going to an eternal place of punishment. But thank God for this verse of Scripture that he's given us in Revelation 1, 18. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege we have to bow and pray. Seek your face, and God, we come in Jesus' name. We realize the fact today that we need to hear from you. Thank you for the singing of the songs and how good it's been to our hearts that blessed us. But Lord, we come now for time for preaching. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, you'd help us today to be able to share the Word of God as you'd have it to be shared. I pray for those who are bereaved today. I pray for my sister Lori and her family that you'd comfort their hearts and give them grace. And then, Father, I pray for those who are sick and would love to be here and could not come, that you bless them and help them. And, Father, I pray for those that are away with their families. I pray you give them traveling grace as they come back home. And then, Lord, it's those that come in to visit with us today. I thank you for everyone that's come. Pray you bless them, help them, encourage them. Then, Lord, for those that's not right with you, I pray today, Holy Spirit of God, I pray anoint us to preach, and may we preach with power. And I pray the Holy Ghost would have his way in hearts and minds. And Lord, that you would convict and draw, magnify yourself, and help us, God, to realize we serve a living Christ. And thank you, Lord, for this day that we can commemorate and remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that died for our sins, but he rose from the dead. Praise your name, and he's alive forevermore. We give you glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Realizing today that only Jesus Christ, only the power of God can work in hearts and do what needs to be done, but how I pray that God will work in hearts and do what needs to be done on this day as we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tried to title this message, and I wasn't sure exactly how I wanted to title it, because you could title it a lot of things. But I just wound up calling it the Supreme Conqueror. I'm glad you could call it the Conqueror from Calvary. You could say, because he conquers, we can conquer. And our conquerors, fact is, in Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I say hallelujah. We're living in a day of people are despairing and disappointed and worried and concerned and messed up. But I'm glad the Word of God says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so we look at it like God looks at it. We'll say, hallelujah, we're conquerors and more than conquerors through him that loved us. So today, as I try to share with you about Jesus Christ, the great conqueror, the supreme conqueror, the one that conquered. Men talk about men that have conquered. Napoleon was known as a man that conquered and disappointed no more to conquer. But I'm glad, praise God, he's just a speck of dust compared to the conqueror I'm talking about. There have been men that have conquered nation after nation. Hitler thought he was a conqueror, but he wound up being conquered. I want you to know man will never conquer. Jesus will conquer. The Antichrist will come on the scene, and he'll come conquering and saying he's a conqueror. And he will for a little while, but he's not the supreme conqueror. He will be conquered one day, and Jesus will be the conqueror. There will be a day that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will come back in power and great glory to conquer, and he will conquer. And then the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters that cover the sea. In that day, he will be declared the supreme conqueror. And today, I declare unto you that he is the supreme conqueror. Death tried to hold him. The devil wanted to hold him, but death couldn't hold him. And Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again. And he did. He laid it down of his own volition. By the way, nobody killed Jesus. He died on the cross because he willed to die. He gave himself to die. He suffered willingly to so that he might save us. And so he gave himself and died and gave up the ghost. And man could not take his life. He laid it down. But then, thank God, he took it back up. And he, the Christ, Jesus, the Lord and Savior, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This morning, Resurrection Day, we remember, and folk are thinking about that, has nothing to do with Easter eggs nor Easter bunny. It has to do, Ishtar, that's where eggs come from, Ishtar, which was a Babylonian goddess. But I want you to know, thank God, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's what it's all about. Yeah, Easter Bunny came from Germany. Tradition has it that during a famine, a mother colored some eggs and hid them. And by the time the children found them, a bunny jumped out. And so Easter Bunny came into Easter. And the world jumped on that just like they have Santa Claus and tried to do away with the reality of what Easter's really about. What we really remember is not an Easter bunny nor an Easter egg. What we really remember is a living Christ, a Savior, a Lord. I'm glad, thank God, for our Savior and the Lord. And this day we remember the resurrection of the living Christ. Can you, and I remember one president made the statement and said at the greatest day in the history of the world when man had landed on the moon, he said, this is the greatest day in the history of the world. How wrong he was. That was not the greatest day in the history of the world. The greatest day in the history of the world was the day that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and walked out victorious and said, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You and I today can rejoice in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And that's the greatest day in the history of mankind, was the day that Jesus Christ walked out. If the devil could have kept him in the grave, if he hadn't have got up, then it had all been in vain. It could not have been any salvation in it. There had to be a resurrection. There had to be life. And Jesus conquered it and walked out. I say, praise God, he is a conqueror from Calvary. He's supreme conqueror. He has conquered and will conquer. You say today, I'll live my life as I please. Wait a minute. You forgot there's a supreme conqueror. He will conquer one day. You may think you're living your life by yourself. You may think you're doing as you please. But the conqueror one day will show forth in your life and you will be conquered. There have been men that have denied God and cursed God, said there is no God. and died without God, but they found out there is a conqueror and conquered them. Amen. There was one man that denied God, made fun of God in the very house that he denied God, made statements against God. They now print Bibles, and I say hallelujah. Amen. A conqueror. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a conqueror. He's a supreme conqueror, and he will conquer. You say today, we're living in a hopeless world. We're living in a day when there's no hope, there's no help. Oh, but there is a conqueror. Thank God for the supreme conqueror. Let me get to him in just a minute. The conqueror, Webster says, is overcome by physical or mental or moral force. Hallelujah. The conqueror is overcome by physical, mental, or moral force. I'm glad he conquered in all of it. Amen. I'm glad. Conquer means to defeat. It means to win. It means to be victorious. I say hallelujah and all of that. Jesus did it all. Amen. He defeated death. He defeated the devil. In fact, he's talking about the devil over in Hebrews. He said he destroyed him that had the power of death. I'm glad, praise God, he defeated the devil. He's victorious over death. Hey, amen. He is the conqueror, and thank God he is. Let me give you some things he conquered today. I know we're going to get to I've been talking about the death, and we'll get to, I'm going to try to wind it up with that, but let me say this today. He conquered the world. Amen. He conquered the world. In John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I say hallelujah. What is the world, preacher? Well, the Bible says, love not the world, neither things are in the world. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Hey, I want you to know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's what the world paints pictures out here. And the devil paints pretty pictures, but that's the world. And the world, I'm not talking about the earth we walk on or trees or that kind of thing. I'm talking about the system in this world. The devil is the god of this world system. But I'm glad Jesus conquered it, amen. He conquered it. That's what he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You remember Lot? And Lot looked down there towards Sodom and he let the world appeal to him. And he began to move in that direction and wound up in Sodom and lost everything that he had. He lost his wife. He lost his children that married Sodomite. He lost all of it down there. And his daughters that came out were immoral and came out like a pauper, if you please. And he, you know what got him down there? The lure of the world. The riches of this life. That took him down there. Lust of the eyes. I took him down there. He went that direction, but wound up in a mess. But I want you to know, thank God Jesus overcame the world. I'm glad that he did. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I say hallelujah, amen. Aren't you glad like Moses? The world appeared to him too, appealed to him. In Hebrews 11:24, and verses 4, and by faith Moses, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hey, he was in line to be Pharaoh. Hey, he had all the appeal that was to him down there, riches. But he said he thought the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I say hallelujah. The world had its appeal, but not to Moses. He looked beyond that. Somebody said this about Moses, and I say amen. Moses saw the invisible, chose the imperishable, and did the impossible. And I say hallelujah. I'm glad today you can look beyond this world and see the invisible, choose the imperishable, and thank God you can overcome the world. And that's an impossibility outside of the power of God. The world will take you down. The world, I said the world will take you down. But thank God there was a conqueror came one day. And he said, I'm going to conquer the world. And he did. He conquered this world system. He is victory over it. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I say hallelujah. Amen. Notice secondly with me, please. He overcome temptation. He's a conqueror that conquered all the temptation. You remember in Matthew chapter 4? And the devil take of Jesus out there. Well, the devil didn't take him. The Holy Spirit took him out there. And the wilderness, and he fasted 40 days. After 40 days, the devil came to him to tempt him. And he did tempt him. And in the temptation, he said that first of all, he was hungry because he'd been in the fasting 40 days. He said, if, and I mentioned that Wednesday night, that little word if thou be the Son. Hey, it's not if thou be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus responded by saying this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I say hallelujah. He would not do that. Then the devil take him up on a pinnacle of the temple and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, because it's written, he began to quote a little scripture then, and said, it's written, the angels bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I say, hallelujah. Now, any snake handlers here, I want you to know that I'm not going to tempt God. He said, can't you prove God by handling snakes? You can handle all you want to. But this old boy, I'm just going to believe what God said. Amen. And you know, I'm not going to tempt God picking up a rattlesnake and saying, now here, look at my faith. That's not what God said. God didn't say that. That's tempting God. Won't you walk out in front of a train as it comes and say, I'm going to trust God. Amen. And you'll be flattened out and we'll carry you off in pieces. But I'm glad, praise God, we don't have to tempt God to prove our faith. We just believe God. He came to overcome temptation. Amen. He did overcome. Then the devil take him up in a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And said, now if you'll fall down and worship me, all these things I'll give unto you in the glory of them. And what Jesus said? Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. In him only shalt thou serve. I say, hallelujah. He overcame the temptation. And then he said to the devil, when he said that last phrase, just before he said that, he said, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. In him only shalt thou serve. Let me ask you this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, on this resurrection day, who's your God? What is your God? Who is your God? Where do you put your time, your effort? What is your God anyway? If Jesus is not, then you're serving an idol God. You got an idol somewhere, and you better serve God. Jesus said, you serve God and him only shalt thou serve. He's the only God there is, only one that we ought to serve or worship in the door. But he overcame temptation. I'm glad, praise God, because a conqueror came and took it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13 says this, no temptation have taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I say glory to God. He overcame the world. I can overcome the world by power of God. He overcame temptation. I too can overcome temptation. You say, preacher, I couldn't help it. That's not so. If you got God in your life and God's real in your life, you can overcome temptation. Temptation's real and it'll be there. Joseph one time, he was tempted, but he ran and left his coat. I'm glad God said he'd make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And Jesus overcame him. I've got to hurry. I realize that. But I like this. I like it when I'm preaching. I'm like when anybody's preaching overcoming. I'm glad there's victory. I'm glad we're not defeated. I'm glad the world don't have the last say. I'm glad temptation doesn't have the last say. There's a God that overcame. And he lives in my heart. Thank God there can be victory in my life. Don't have to live defeated. Don't have to live beat down. But live in victory in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I am thankful for the fact of the great God of ours over temptation that lives. But let me say this. He overcame the flesh also. You say, preacher, I don't have any trouble with the flesh. You probably lie about something else too. Sure you do. All of us do. We're made out of the same flesh, tell you the truth about it. And every one of us have problems with the flesh. Flesh gets in the way, and the flesh fails us. Now, Jesus was as much man and much human as you are, as much God as God is. He's a 200% man. He's God and man. But he's in flesh. Now, get this. He's a conqueror of the flesh. And you say, preacher, where do you find that? In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus was out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there in the flesh, as it were, he prayed, and he was much human as we. He was facing Calvary. He was going to die. And he said, Father, if it please you, he said, if it can be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Anytime you're praying for his will and not your will, what you're really doing is trying to overcome the flesh. And so he's praying. And we know that he prayed that prayer three times. He asked God if it pleased him. His sweat became as great drops of blood. Hey, it wasn't the fact just that he's going to strap him. It wasn't the fact that he's going to nail him to a cross. It wasn't the fact that he's going to crown him with thorns. That wasn't all there was to it. But he knew at Calvary that he would be made my sin and your sin. He never had sinned. He did no sin. He's perfect in every way. He knew that he'd have to be made sin. And so he knew God the Father would forsake him on the cross. He'd never been separated. You say, preacher, how can that be? He was God. He's also flesh. I can't explain that to you. But I believe what God said. And Jesus cried on the cross. And the saddest words that's ever been uttered was on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the saddest words ever been heard in all the universe. But God the Father forsook God the Son. You know why? So I wouldn't have to be forsaken. So I never know what it's like to be forsaken. Thank God I'm in the conqueror. And he conquered it. And now I'll never be separated from God. He paid. But there in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's where the battle was won with the flesh. And Jesus said, not my will, thy will be done. Walked out of there and went to Calvary. And thank God he conquered the flesh. And because he did, I can too. Amen. Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Life which I now live, a living faith, Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me try to bring it to a close here in just a moment. But I'm talking about the conqueror. I'm talking about a supreme conqueror. I'm talking about the conqueror from Calvary. I'm talking about the one that conquered it. Came out, conquered the world. Conquered temptation. Conquered flesh. But hallelujah, he conquered death. And the text I read to you said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and death. Now, let me back up a little bit in that verse. He said, I'm alive. And said, I was dead. There are some people that try to claim that Jesus has swooned. You know, he passed out. He looked like he was dead. That's not so. He died. He was dead. He was 4 o'clock dead. He was dead. You can't get any deader than dead. Physically, he died on the cross of Calvary. He dismissed his spirit and soul from his body and went into paradise. And the thief that repented went with him. And there he preached to the saints in prison. Nobody in the Old Testament go in the presence of God until Jesus had died and was buried and rose from the dead. But they were waiting in paradise. And Jesus, boy, I get in my mind's eye and see the picture. And the cross of Calvary's happening. And all of a sudden down in paradise, here comes that thief in. And Jesus went first. The thief came later. But all of a sudden here comes Jesus because he dismissed himself. And thieves had to have their legs broke before they died. But Jesus dismissed his spirit. And down in paradise, I hear Abraham saying, here he comes. I hear Jacob saying, that's him. Here comes a conqueror.
He's coming in. And there in paradise, and Jesus said, we'll wait just a few minutes. There's one coming right after me. I told him he'd be here with me. I want to greet him when he gets. I don't know what was said. I don't know exactly what was done. But I believe down in paradise, there's some great things happening. And he began to preach to them in paradise. And then after 3 days and three nights, he said, I've got to leave you now. I'm going to get you out of here and move paradise to heaven. But said, I got to get back to that grave. I'm getting up. I left a body laying back there. And I'm going back and get my body and get up. And thank God on the third day, he got back up from the dead. His soul, spirit is in paradise. Preaching saints, he left there, went back to that body, resurrected. It was the same body, same body, same one. He said, look at the prince. He said, see my side. Look at me, feel at me, touch me. Hey, I want you to know, the same body, this same Jesus that went away is coming back. But the same Jesus that died got up. You say, preacher, do you believe in a literal resurrection? I believe Jesus Christ literally died. I believe that he literally was buried. I believe that he literally rose from the dead. It was not a spiritual resurrection. It was not some kind of swoon. He died, he rose. And thank God on this Easter Sunday morning, I can stand in this pulpit and declare unto you, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And not only that, I can declare to you, he's alive forevermore. He'll never die again. Amen. He's a conqueror. He conquered death. Nobody else ever did. But he conquered death. Never, never to die again. He resurrected some. They died again. Hey, some. But Jesus never died again. He resurrected from the dead. Nobody ever conquered death and rose and got out of death. But thank God Jesus did. Never die again. Never, never. Die again. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Now, because he conquered death, that means, thank God, I can conquer death. In fact, as Jesus said in John 11, 25, talking to those sisters over there, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? To die is to be separated from God. I'm standing here to tell you today, because Jesus conquered death, I'm never going to die. I'll never be separated, because he was separated on Calvary from God the Father. I'll never be separated, because I have repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, got saved. I'll never be separated from God. Therefore, I will never die. If this body drops over in this pulpit and this heart quits beating and somebody tells you I'm dead, don't believe it. You just tell him he moved out of that house he lived in. Just tell him he went on to glory. And I'm not going to die. Never die. I'll never know the sting of death. Have you noticed that if a honeybee stings you, he leaves a stinger in you? That honeybee will never sting anybody else because he doesn't have another sting. Can't do it. In fact, he can't sting anything. I'm glad Jesus pulled the stinger out of death. And now death has no sting for the child of God. I'm glad Jesus died for my sin. But oh, I'm so proud. Praise God, he rose from the dead. Rose from the dead, and that he lives. So I can live too. Because he lives, hold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but all be changed. Moment, twinkle of an eye. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, that's over in 1 Thessalonians 4. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, talking about that mystery, he went on to say this in those verses. He said, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Sting of death is sin, strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for every child of God. I was telling you about Lori's Hawkins' dad last night, went to be with the Lord. I've talked with him and had fellowship with him. and he had a great testimony of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Only thing that happened to him last night was he said good night over here and good morning over there. Hallelujah. But there will be a day. There will be a day that body will be resurrected. This old body I live in's got pains and aches and things about it, and it's breaking down. And every day of my life, it gets weaker. And every day of my life, I realize I'm nearing the end. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm going to get a new body one day just like his and live forever. Never going to die, but I'm going to live forever in a glorified body. Now you beat that. What a resurrection day that'll be. Now let me close with this. You said, preacher, you said you're going to close a while ago. I know. I read the Apostle Paul one day, said he's going to close, and he wrote two more chapters. I'm going to close with this, though, sure enough. If you're not saved, you don't have the power that lives within us that are saved. The world has that pull on you and the lure of it. The world paints pretty pictures. You don't have the power that we have to overcome temptation, because that power is the Holy Spirit that lives within us, makes a way of escape for us. And if you're unsaved, you don't have the same power we have about the flesh. Every one of us have desires of the flesh. And the flesh, you can't handle the flesh yourself. It takes the Holy Spirit within you to handle the flesh. But then if you have to die, you don't have the same power we have within us. Because you're unsaved, you wouldn't say good night over here and good morning over there. You'd be like a rich man in Luke 16, lifted up his eyes, being in hell, being in torments. How sad that would be to wake up in hell. And I thought about this, standing here this morning looking over this congregation. These people in this house, that if you died right now, you'd lift your eyes up in hell and scream and cry and wish I had a time to sit back in that church one more time and hear that man preach. I'd come to Jesus. I'd get saved. I'd get born in the family of God. But all the way in hell, burning the pit, being hell burning and screaming and crying, don't have that hope of a resurrected body. You'll come out one day, stand before the great white throne judgment, there bow your knee, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then be cast in the lake of fire and burn forever and forever. Separated from God forever and forever. Burn forever and ever in a place called the lake of fire. You said, preacher, would that really happen to me? That would really happen to you if you're not saved. I'm not talking about being a member of the church. I like what brother, Brother Taylor, Bernard Taylor. Thank you. I like what Brother Taylor said up here this morning. He made a profession. He did what they said to do. Had the paper, but he didn't have Christ. He would have died and went to hell in all those years until he got saved, born in the family of God. These people that sits on church pews on this Easter Sunday morning, that if they died, they'd go to hell just as sure as they sat where they sat. But I'm glad Jesus lives to save. I invite you to come. In your bulletin, some quotes out of Matthew 28. It says, fear not. It says, come see, then go tell. Let me say to you tonight, today, fear not. Come and see. Jesus does save sinners. You believe, you trust. It's not if he can save you. The question is if you'll come. It's all on your shoulders, your heart, your mind, your decision, your choice, what you do in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for a living Christ, a living Savior. Thank you that Jesus Christ lives. And Father, he died for our sin, was buried, rose again. You said in the word that we read as text today that I'm alive and alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and death. Lord, I'm glad you're in control. I'm thankful for the reality that Jesus lives. I thank you that Jesus saves.
Father, in this house today, there are those that know not the Lord Jesus. They're lost. They're without God. They need to come and trust Christ. There are those here today that, Lord, they've been saved and their lives don't have the joy. The world, they're letting the world have the pull, or temptation has got them, or the flesh is overriding. They don't have the real victory, but victory is available. And I pray today you'd help folk to see that. May the Holy Spirit make it real. Then there's some here today that, Lord, they just need some help spiritually. And I pray they'd come and ask you. Some's got people going to hell without God. They love, they care. I pray for them. And I pray, Father, right now in this invitation, will you rebuke the devil? And I pray for every hindering cause, everything that would get in the way. Would you stop it? And Father, will you right now, Lord, breathe on this place, the power of God come through here in conviction because of the conqueror. We too can conquer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.